Freight Up!
Hello and welcome back to Freight Up, the freight and quality podcast of Freight Investor Services. My name is Jess, and together with Davide, we will be your hosts as we navigate our major freight and bulk commodity markets. We hope you enjoyed the US election special from 2 weeks ago. Today, we will begin with our freight update, followed by insights from how pay on iron ore. Unfortunately, Archie Smith will not be able to join us on fuel oil, so that section will be missing from today's episode. But as usual, let's first look at the latest news and index movements for the last 2 weeks.
In the US, the annual core consumer price inflation rate, which excludes items such as food and energy, stood at a three-month high of 3.3% in October, unchanged from September and in line with the market estimates. The annual inflation rate accelerated to 2.6% in October, up from 2.4% in September, which was the lowest rate since February 2021 and in line with market expectations. China's annual inflation rate stood at 0.3% in October, compared with market estimates and September's figure of 0.4%. This marked the ninth straight month of consumer inflation, but the lowest reading since June. The British economy unexpectedly contracted 0.1% month over month in September, the first decline in the last 5 months, following a 0.2% rise in August and well below the market forecast of a 0.2% expansion. However, the economy expanded 1% on a year-on-year in the third quarter of 2024, the strongest growth rate in 7 quarters, compared to 0.7% in Q2 and in line with market expectations, according to the preliminary estimates. What about the market movements of the last 2 weeks? Let's take a quick look. Looking at the Capesize, the C5TC index has gained considerable ground over the past 2 weeks, jumping from $16,310 of the 5th of November to the $23,291 of the 19th. Panamaxes have traded instead in a narrow range, losing $200 in the last 2 weeks. The P5TC index hit $10,536 yesterday from the $10,722 of the 5th. Supers have been on a downward trend, and the S10TC index reached $10,596 from the $12,319 of the 5th. Same goes for the handies, where the HS7TC went from $12,789 of the 5th of November to the $12,207 of the 19th.
And now let's have a look at what's happening in the dry FFA market. So the Cape FFA saw a resurgence in the week following our last episode, with rates climbing by around $4,000 between November the 4th and November the 8th. After the US election result came out, we saw steady bid support pushing December contracts up from the Monday open at $20,275 to Friday close at $24,125. Similarly, the November contracts rose from $17,800 to $20,750 over the same period. As for the last week, we saw further momentum in December contracts opening Monday at $25,000, up almost $1,000 from Friday's close, buoyed by strong Pacific demand, especially on the C5 route. By Wednesday, the market continued the week's volatility, with November dropping to $22,800 and December to $25,250, before buy-side interest took over, pushing the November back up to $23,000. And December to $26,600. Further along the curve, we saw Q1 contracts trade at $15,750 and Cal 25 at $21,200. By Friday, December settled at $27,325, with the end of the week largely range-bound. However, this week has brought some losses, with both November and December slipping to $21,625 and $23,625 respectively, when I checked last night. Moving on to the Panamax market, we saw a more tempered rise compared to the larger ships. Rates nudged up during the week, starting November 4th, with the December contract moving from $10,750 to $10,800, while Q3 25 moved from $11,775 to $11,950. Cal 26 and Cal 27 remained largely flat, with $11,350 and $11,425 respectively. So most contracts appeared to reach highs on election day and correct over the rest of the week. Early gains were seen at the beginning of last week, On November the 11th, the December contract had reached highs of 11,400, but by Wednesday, the market was back in decline. Tuesday saw a correction, with December initially trading at $11,750 and Q1 at $10,450, before both fell to $11,200 and $10,250. A range-bound close capped the week off, with November and December ending on their lows at $10,700 and $9,750 respectively. This week has continued with a significant sell-off. On Monday, December dropped $600, finding resistance at the $10,000 mark. But by yesterday, rates had broken through that level, with December at $9,500 yesterday evening. And finally, for the Supermaxes, they've also been on a generally downward trajectory. In the first week since our podcast, we saw a steady decline totaling around $1,134 between the 4th and the 8th of November. On November 4th, there was limited trading activity and saw highs of $12,425. But the market remained range-bound, with the November and December contracts slipping back to $12,200 and $12,450, respectively. By the end of the week, most volume was in the longer-dated contracts, with both November and December ultimately trading at $11,750 and $12,000. Last week, the market continued to face headwinds from soft demand and rising vessel availability. Monday's trading saw November in a $250 range and December in a $300 range, opening at high of $11,875. Just to clarify, that was the December contract. Most trading activity was on the back end of the curve, with Cal 25 seeing significant volume at around $11,800 to $11,900. Rates continued to soften, with November and December hitting lows of $11,250 and $11,300 by Wednesday. The downward trend extended to the back end of the curve, and Cal 25 slipped to $11,750. By Friday, December had closed the week at its lows at $11,225, while Q1 was also down at $10,275. So far this week, we've seen similar downward movement as the larger vessels across all Supermax contracts, with the December having dropped $700 since last Friday and have reached a low of $10,575 last night. As for volumes, the dry FFA market saw robust activity last week, with total weekly trading volumes rising to nearly 76,000 lots. Capesize contracts dominated trading with an average of 6,380 lots per day, followed by Panamax and Supermax contracts at 4,840 and 1,570 lots per day, respectively. Options activity was also notable, particularly in the Capesize contracts, which recorded 3,580 lots traded compared to 270 lots in the Panamax and even less on the Supras. I believe that was coming in around 30 lots. A sharp increase in Panamax open interest was also observed last week, aligned with a decline in the December prices, suggesting that short positions were built up, while for the Capes, open interest grew at a slower pace as weekly prices remained a bit more steady, potentially signalling a pause to the recent bullish momentum. Next up, we have Hao Pei from Shanghai, who will talk us through what's been happening in iron ore this week. We have seen a 2.13% decrease in the iron ore index in the last reporting week. However, there was a fast rebound during the first 2 days of the week. Can you explain to me what happened there?
I think, first of all, luckily we were on the right pace of making assumptions instead of a wrong pace. When some of the financial sector were racing on the growth after U.S. election, when the global interest cut landing concentrately trying to stimulate, and we were very early research team to give bold verdict that the market should be overheat correction was needed last week. And then from this week, we're suggesting it over pessimistic on the downside. I think the downside is there is more support instead of risk. And there were many main factors contributing to the significant decline in the last reporting week, but almost nothing to do with fundamental market. First, the geopolitical risks potentially came to a quiet period after U.S. election. And secondly, the increase in tariffs in some commodities led to the market tension and anticipating a trading of lowering price for export volume in November to exchange more trading volume. And thirdly, the US Fed began to expect a slower pace of interest rate cuts and the strengthening of US dollar, thereby suppressing the performance of most of the industrial commodity prices. And from history, the steel market in fourth quarter has never lacked of macro level stories. Like, for example, there's bigger than expected process in the issuance of 2,000 billion won of local government investment bonds in China during this weekend, which boosted the market confidence of economic situation and the property market. So that's the story why the market has seen a rebound over this week. More to come. And the government is saying there's a meeting from China and DRC saying that China will fulfill the GDP growth target of this year. If we think that's just, if we think it like a simple math calculation, for the first three quarters, the growth rate was only 4.8. So given the whole year target is 5%, that means the fourth quarter had to reach like 5.6% of growth. That's a lot. That's almost 1% of growth compared to the past 9 months. So in general, we maintain a range-bound trading suggestion. So in general, I think the market expects some of the more stimulus and more price pickup on the industrial in the fourth quarter. And I think following a strong directional move and see if there's any chance to catch the upside trading opportunities, I think it's very proper decision or very, they had a safety margin for this like trading pattern.
And then for the coke and coal market, it was quiet at around $201 to $203 for many weeks. Do you see the possibility of any directional opportunities there?
I think, first of all, the market saw less demand on the prime coal approaching the end of the year, and the market was expecting the Indian buyers to show more during October, but they just stay sidelines. And on the other side, I think the miners and traders would rather keep cargoes on floats or ports instead of sell them in lower price. I think on both sides, both supply and demand, they're slowing down in the market activities. So from that perspective, I don't think the market will have a huge change or any of the directional change on the FOB coking coal market. There is news that China cut physical coal price for the third round. And however, I think market participants think it should be hard to see the fourth round. So I think that news is neutral. So In general, I don't think there will be any directional opportunities for the coking coal market.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Hao. As usual, giving everybody a lot to think about.
Thank you.
And that's it for this week. Make sure to subscribe by clicking the subscribe button on wherever you get your podcast. Also, make sure to follow us on LinkedIn or get signed up to our app, FIS Live, to make sure you never miss any freight and commodity analysis from FIS. Thanks again for joining us, and see you in 2 weeks' time on FIS's Freight and Commodity Podcast, Freight Up.